Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Madhavi. Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Madhavi. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jamarandana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jamarandana Jamuna Teravana Chari. Jamuna Teravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parirajakacharya Astau Tarasata Sri Sri Mad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prenting of Holy Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Se Advaita Gadad Hara Siva Sadi Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Kup Kupinath Shama Kunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Mayapura Napajwit Dham Ki Sri Purushottam Chetra Ki Sri Ganga Maya ki jai, Sri Jabuna Maya ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Devi Maharani ki jai, Hari Dham Sankirtana ki jai, Nitai Gora Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Among Mishpada, Hare Krishna, Sai, but let's have three young people. Namaste. He says, "What a devi go to any prajna, never say so, never post a jati satane." Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, The Science of God. Chapter 1. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Text number 26, is it? Okay. Tasma. I'm going to have to put some light on this. There we go, that's better. Oh, now I can read it. It's a sign of old age. Tasmad vairanu bandhena. Nira vairena bhayena va. Snehat kamena vayunjyat. Katanchin nikshate prithak. Tasmad vairanu bandhena. Nirvairena bhayena va. Snehat kamena vayunjyat. Katanchin nikshate prithak. Nehat kamena vayunjat. Katanchin nikshate prithak. Tasmat vairana bandena. Vayunjat. Katanchin nikshate prithak. Tasmad vairana bandena. Nirvairena bhayena va. Snehat kamena vayunjat. Chinnikshate prithak. Okay, ladies. Tasmad vairanu bandena. Nirvairena bhayena va. Snehat kamena vayunjat. Katanchin nikshate prithak. Tasmat vairanu bandena. Nirvairena bhayena va. Snehat kamena vayunjat. Katanchin nikshate prithak. Tasmat. Therefore, vaira anubandena, by constant enmity, nirvairena, by devotion, bhayena, by fear, va, or snehat, from affection, kamena, by lusty desires, va, or yunjat, one should concentrate, katanjit, somehow or other, na, not, ikshate, sees, pritak, something else. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection or by lusty desire, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Purport. From this verse, one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favourable prayers or unfavourable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Supreme Lord. This is not the regulative principle. Bhakti yoga means anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. One should serve Krishna very favourably. This is the real injunction. Here it is said that although an enemy thinks of Krishna unfavourably, the Lord is unaffected by such anti-devotional service. Thus he offers his benedictions even to Sishupal and similarly inimical conditioned souls. This does not mean, however, that one should be inimical toward the Lord. The stress is given to the favourable execution of devotional service, not purposeful blasphemy of the Lord. It is said, Nindan Bhagavata Srinvams Tat Parasya Janasya Va Tato Na Poeti Yasopi Yat Yadha Sukride Chutaha. My glass is dirty, maybe that's a problem. You know, it looks like this room has got plenty of light in it, but actually it's not. It's quite dark. Okay, that's a little bit better. Okay. One who hears blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotees should immediately take action or should leave. Otherwise, he will be put into hellish life perpetually. There are many such injunctions. Therefore, as a regulative principle, one should not be unfavourable toward the Lord but always favourably inclined toward him. Sishupal's achievement of oneness with the Supreme Lord was different because Jaya and Vijaya, from the very beginning of their material existence, were ordained to treat the Lord, the Supreme Lord, as an enemy for three lives and then return home back to Godhead. Jaya and Vijaya inwardly knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they purposely became his enemies to be delivered from material life. From the very beginning of their lives, they thought of Lord Krishna as an enemy, and even though blaspheming Lord Krishna, they chanted the holy name of Krishna constantly along with their inimical thoughts. Thus, they were purified because of chanting the holy name of Krishna. It is to be understood that even a blasphemer can be freed from sinful activities by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Certainly, therefore, freedom is assured for a devotee who is always favourable to the service of the Lord. This will be clear from the following verse. By rapt attention fixed upon Krishna, one is purified, and thus one is delivered from material life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely explained the word bhayena, which means by fear. When the gopis went to Krishna in the dead of night, they certainly feared chastisement by their relatives, their husbands, brothers and fathers. But nonetheless, not caring for their relatives, they went to Krishna. There was certainly fear. But this fear could not check their devotional service to Krishna. One should not mistakenly think that Lord Krishna must be worshipped by an inimical attitude like that of Sishupal. The injunction is anukulyasya grahanam pratikulyasya varajanam. One should give up unfavorable activities and accept only favorable conditions in devotional service. Generally, if one blasphemes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is punished. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text 19, Tanaham dvishata kruram samsareshu naradaman chipamya jasram ashubhan asureshveva yonishu. There are many such injunctions. One should not try to worship Krishna unfavorably, otherwise he must be punished, at least for one life, to be purified. As one should not try to be killed by embracing an enemy, a tiger or a snake, one should not blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his enemy in order to be put into hellish life. The purpose of this verse is to emphasize that even the enemy of the Lord can be delivered, not to speak of his friend. Srila Madhvacharya also says in many ways that one should not blaspheme Lord Vishnu through one's mind, words or actions, for a blasphemer will go to hellish life along with his forefathers. Kamana manasa vacha yo dvishyad vishnum avyayam majanti pitarastasya narake shashvati samaha. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text 19 to 20, the Lord says, Tanaham dvishata kruran samsareshu naradaman kripam yajasram ashuban asureshveva yonishu asurim yonam apana muda janmani janmani mam aprapyaiva kunteya tato yantyadamam katim. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. One who blasphemes the Lord is put into a family of asuras, in which there is every chance of forgetting the service of the Lord. Lord Krishna further states in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 11 and 12, Avajananti mamudha manushim tanamasritam parambhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshvaram. Mudhas, rascals, blaspheme the Supreme Lord because he appears exactly like a human being. They do not know the unlimited opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mogasa mogakamanu mogagyana vichetasaha raksha shim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim svitaha. Anything done by those who have taken the attitude of enemies will be baffled. Moga Saha. If these enemies try to be liberated or to merge into the existence of Brahman, if they desire to be elevated to the higher planetary systems as Kamis, or even if they desire to return home back to Godhead, they will certainly be baffled. As for Hiranyakashipu, although he was extremely inimical toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he always thought of his son, who was a great devotee. Therefore, by the grace of his son, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipuschapi Bhagavan Nindaya Tamaha Vivakshur Atyagat Shuno praladasyanubhavataha. The conclusion is that one should give, is that one should not give up pure devotional service for one's own benefit. One should not imitate Hiranyakashipu or Shishupal. This is not the way to achieve success. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmahe Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dhratisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, two points, both very important. The first is that any contact with Krishna, even if a person is inimical to him, and this is really what the verse says, you'll be purified. There will be a positive, there will be a positive outcome from any interaction with Krishna. Of course, it may take some time to manifest. And of course here, the point is that, and Prabhupada starts off by saying, one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favourable prayers or unfavourable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Supreme Lord. Because, of course, this is what Shishupal and Jaya and Vijaya in their various incarnations did. But, of course, the mood was different in that, and Prabhupada mentions this here, the mood of the The servants, Jaya and Vijaya, was even though they were inimical to Krishna, their service was somewhat favourable in that they were facilitating the Lord's pastimes. And of course, that, you know, that's the purport of that series of incarnations or reincarnations of those dedicated servants of Lord Vishnu. But Shishupal was inimical. But even though he was inimical, he was awarded Sayujya Mukti, interestingly enough. But of course Prabhupada makes the point here that really devotional service should be performed favourably. And that's why there's a distinction between the service as demons of Jaya and Vijaya and a difference between the mood of Shishupal, because Shishupal was totally inimical to Krishna's presence, being, existence. So Prabhupada makes a point here. The regulated principle is favourable devotional service, even though any contact with Krishna is beneficial, a devotee should be engaged in Krishna Anushilanam. Anukulyena, Krishna Anushilanam. That is, one should serve Krishna very favorably. Prabhupada says here, this is the real injunction. Yeah. This does not mean, however, that one should be inimical toward the Lord. So, let there not be any misunderstanding of this verse. Even though it says, by enmity, or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desire, all of these, or any one of them, is a contact, a connection, right, with Krishna. If a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. And Prabhupada makes a point here. The enemies of Krishna were purified because of their constant chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Even a blasphemer can be freed from sinful activities by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So there's benefit. Freedom is assured for a devotee who is always favourable to the service of the Lord. Now, and then Prabhupada again clarifies this point. The purpose of this verse is to emphasise that even the enemy of the Lord can be delivered, not to speak of his friend. What's the title of the chapter? Ah, good. I didn't hear what anybody said. But if one person speaks, yes, the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone and favorably inclined to everyone. Krishna is thinking of the benefits for the demons. What is it? Suridam Savabhutanam. He's the friend of everybody. And even he's thinking of how to benefit those who are inimical, the demons. Of course, as Prabhupada points out, the demons will be punished for their poor behavior. Prabhupada says, even one lifetime, right? One lifetime, you'll have to cop it. Or many lifetimes, as is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So, and this is somewhat the essence of devotional service, is that everything is meant to be done ultimately for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna is the center of all of the activities of a devotee. And a devotee is always thinking of how to perform activities that are welcome, Mahatmaji. A devotee is always thinking how to please, how to perform their service, how to engage the mind and the senses and their speech in activities that are pleasing to Krishna. This is the mood of a devotee. Yeah, there are many. One should not try to worship Krishna unfavorably. Otherwise, he must be punished at least for one life to be purified. It reminds me of we used to have three devotees that would come to the temple in the late 70s, early 80s. And we used to call them the three gunas, right? And one of them was challenged to chant Hare Krishna. He was determined. He was determined to prove that chanting Hare Krishna didn't have an effect on you. And so he stayed in the temple for a week and chanted 16 rounds, but then left. And that was his goal. But it was interesting. Those fellows were actually quite favourable. And I remember later on, maybe 5 years later, I was... You know, it was in the middle of the 80s, I suppose, so personal computers were a new thing. And one of them was selling computers, and I happened to bump into him. And he helped us out, you know, even though he hadn't so fully surrendered to Krishna, he was still actually very favourable to the devotees. So despite their best efforts to not be influenced by Krishna consciousness, they couldn't be. They couldn't help but be affected. And you know, any service effectively is... I remember there was another devotee called Girad Hari Rupa who was famous for throwing rotten vegetables at the Harinam party. But eventually, you know, he was purified and... So much so that he became a devotee and took initiation from Srila Prabhupada. So there are many examples of, you know, animosity or at least, you know, somewhat unfavorable service, but which ultimately the performer is awarded by purification. But of course, that's not the desired focus for a sadhaka. And Prabhupada mentions here the desired focus for somebody who wants to make advancement in devotional service is to perform devotional service favorably. And Prabhupada quotes it is somewhat different to what Srila Prabhupada would often quote, but it's similar. Anukulyasya grahanam pratikulyasya varajanam. So what is it? Anukulyasya sankalpa, right? Yeah. So it must be a similarity between grahanam and sankalpa. So one is recommended that the process of surrender is to accept that which is favourable and reject that which is unfavourable to the process of, to the practice of bhakti. And of course, that's why we associate with the devotees, why the association of the devotees is so important. Why we accept a mentor or a teacher. We accept a guru. And the guru instructs the disciple. In the beginning of devotional service, one accepts a spiritual master And what's the purpose? The purpose is to inquire and to then receive instructions. And the receipt or the acceptance of those instructions are basically that. Accept that which is favourable, reject that which is unfavourable. And Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion how one may be inclined to hold on to something, but he has to give it up. Right? And one may be disinclined to accept something, but has to because it's favourable. Right? Favourable for the practice of devotional service. So the beginning of bhakti means accepting instructions, accepting a spiritual master. And you know, that can be a very simple thing. Most of us have, must have accepted some instructions from a devotee that they've met. Otherwise, why would we start chanting Hare Krishna? What's generally the first instruction we receive from the devotees is what? What's the first instruction you got from the devotees? From a devotee? Come to the temple. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, that's good. Chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, of course it is. The first time I went to the Sunday feast, a devotee collared me and he said, "Do you know how to chant Hare Krishna?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, here's your beads, chant 16 rounds." And I, you know, Chitraripa and I took those, we took the devotees very seriously. We thought, ooh, we can't ignore the instructions that we receive from the devotees. And of course, my friends had been telling me the same thing for some months, I'd say. You know, go to Mongoladi, chant 16 rounds. So this is very favourable. You know, it's practically speaking the beginning of bhakti. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam kalo, nasjeva, 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 gatira nyata. And of course, then that means putting aside the time and putting aside the right time to chant so that their maximum benefit can be achieved, received by chanting properly, you know, with attention. Now, we say there are no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna, but in reality, there is a science to chanting Hare Krishna that is quite exacting, quite demanding. One has to chant with attention. One has to stay awake. Right? There's a little japa area in the Juhu temple. Where they've got some chairs set up and they have sets of beads, and visitors come in and they chant around with the devotees. But there was one brahmacharya I used to see every morning sitting on the bench in this area, and whenever I saw him, he was like this. Always asleep. So I guess there's benefit from sitting in that place where people chant. But one will get more benefit by staying awake and actually chanting oneself. So there are things that are favourable. Chanting is good, but chanting with attention is better. And we'll bring about the desired results, because, you know, we hear from the, every morning we chant, You know, if we're inflicted with, or if we're affected by the 10 offences, if we engage in any of the 10 offences in chanting Hare Krishna, then we won't get the desired result. What is it? Bahu Jamma, Kari. Right? Even after performing many bursts of chanting, you won't make progress. Huh? Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives the example of the wedding party. Right? You've heard the story of the wedding party? Yeah. We just went to a few weddings. I now know what an Indian wedding is. I highly recommend that you stay away from them. So anyway, a wedding is often a great cause for celebration. In Bengal, the mode of transport was generally by ferry, you know, by those boats that are pushed along by the boatmen. That's why we have that. You know, there's a story that Prabhupada tells about the boatman and the scholar. And you see it in Navadweep, in Mayapur and Navadweep. If you want to go to Navadweep from Mayapur, what do you do? Got to go by a boat. If you want to go from Taranpur Road to the other side of the Jalangi, then what do you do? Catch a boat. You know, I've sat at that gut for hours actually, and just watched people come and go. Chant Hare Krishna. Very nice. Well, I like it as a place just to sit and chant. But you see the villagers, and you know, sometimes they'll get a Maruti van and they'll drive it onto the boat. That's always interesting because, you know, it'd be quite amusing to see a Maruti Suzuki go into the Jalangi. But they've obviously done it many times. And, you know, they drive up with their scooters and onto the boat they go and then across. So, boats were a mode of transport in Bengal, many canals. And so the wedding party came, the groom's family came to the house of the bride. And there was a marriage ceremony, and then in great jubilation, but late at night, everybody hopped on the boat and proceeded to return home. But when they woke up in the morning, they discovered that they were still in the same place. And why was that? Because the boatman had forgotten to untie the boat. They'd been paddling all night, but going nowhere. Right? Because he hadn't untied the mooring rope. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses this example to show if we maintain our material attachments, then we won't make progress. We'll still remain in the same place. And that's the essence, if you like, of anukulyena grihanam pratikulyasya varajanam. One has to accept those things that are favourable for the progress of devotional service, and one has to give up the unfavourable. And if we don't, then progress will be slow. Undoubtedly, there's benefits from chanting Hare Krishna, and we see that in the Bhagavatam with examples like. Who's the classic example of the benefits of chanting? Ajamil, is it? He's the epitome of the benefits of chanting. And even here, Prabhupada says, the demons are benefited because of their chanting. But still, we know the science of chanting. Yes, there's benefits. But if there is an unfavourable attitude, what happens? We make slow progress, or we don't make any progress at all. Bahu jamma kari hari shravana kirtan tabu tanapaya krishna. What's next? Pari prema dana. You don't get the ecstasy or the prema bhakti. This is the ultimate goal of the chanting. Therefore, our chanting needs to be done with great care and attention, not some sniggity rhymes, but hurdy-gurdy sniggity rhyme. It needs to be done. And you know, early in the morning, without distractions, then one can connect to the substrata of spiritual existence. There will be a connection with the spiritual energy, which is what the Hare Krishna mantra is effectively doing for us. It's connecting us to Krishna and service to Krishna. And that service has to be done in a particular mood. And when our chanting is done with that focus and attention and that correct mood, then our path in bhakti is automatically opened up for us. And one will then make rapid advancement, rapid progress. That's the advantage of chanting Hare Krishna. Not that we're freed from the reactions of our sinful activities. Of course, that's a benefit. But the real purpose is to connect and to be engaged in devotional service, so that we're making progress towards that prema nam, if you like. A point that Guru Govinda Maharaj would make often. You know, devotional service should be performed free from these inebrieties or these desires that are influenced by material contact and material, and that mood of wanting to enjoy the material energy for oneself, rather than use it in Krishna's service. Okay, I'm going to finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Hare Bol Sibya.
You told us about the marriage story, how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if we keep our material attachments to us, then we hardly make any progress in bhakti, even if we chant the whole day. So my question is, do I have to make a separate effort to remove my material desires for material things, or will it just come with chanting and doing devotional service?
You answered your own question. Yes. Actually, both. Both. But it'll automatically happen if you chant Hare Krishna. Because we'll all have material desires. Hands up. Those of you who don't have any material desires, please raise your hands. Inclinations, at least. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, if you chant Hare Krishna, then automatically service to Krishna will replace one's inclination to perform inappropriate or be attracted, you know, to materialistic pursuits, where basically one's false identification with the body, with the mind and the senses, influences our mood or our attitude or our activities. So you can't give up desire. Anybody noticed? Pretty hard to give up desire. In fact, you can't. It's not possible. You can't do it. And if you were to give up all desire, have a guess what? You couldn't live. Right? You wouldn't be alive. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Right. So it's not that we give up desire because you can't. It's intrinsic to who we are. Right? But, and this is why chanting Hare Krishna is so powerful, so important and perfect, is that instead of giving up desire, we sublimate, we purify it. Right? And even I was doing some research into Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada's references to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and in the teachings of Queen Kunti, 10th chapter, Prabhupada says that he says basically it's impossible to renounce things, right? But what we generally do, you know, to give up things, but generally what we do is replace one thing with another, right? Does that make any sense? So for example, we give up desires to pursue sense gratification, to embrace desires to please Krishna's senses, right? And we learn, or we experience in the process of doing that, that we also enjoy. So Prabhupada makes a point, you know, a child will give up the propensity to play to be engaged in studies, right? So the propensity to act. And Prabhupada often gives the example of engaging children in positive activities, because otherwise children will do what? What's that? They'll wreck everything. Right? And what's another example? There is another example. Well, I've forgotten it now. So, yeah, this notion of renunciation is not that we give up everything, because it's by our nature to be active. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. What will repression accomplish? Or, you know, trying to give up stuff. Give up. I don't want it, I don't want it. But, you know, that attachment to that thing is an indicative of our, or that inclination towards those inappropriate activities is indicative of the fact that we must act. So rather than, you know, our form of renunciation is not to try and give up things, but rather embrace who we are and our propensities, our natural propensities to act, but engage them in positive action. Right? So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're praying to Krishna, please engage me in your service. Not that we stop doing things, you know, to avoid bad karma, if you like. You can't. One has to be active. One will be active. And hence this notion, you know, if you're not active, then what are you? You're dead, right? So we have to act. So two things: we chant Hare Krishna to purify and to sublimate the propensity to act, such that the activities are done in relationship to Krishna, and so therefore they're favourable and purifying. And at the same time, we also, by following the regulative principles, we know we can discriminate, we can choose between things that we should do and things that we shouldn't. And Prabhupada mentions in that few paragraphs, he says that and we learn what those activities are by studying the teachings of the Goswamis. And Rupa Goswami tells us, Utsahan nischayadarya tat tat karma. And what's the other one? The first one? What is it? Atiyahara. Too much eating or too much accumulation of unnecessary things. Prayasas, over endeavor. Jnana prayas, karma prayas, and so many endeavors that we perform that are actually useless. Or for things that are not beneficial for our spiritual life. So, combination of the both, right? Chant Hare Krishna, it purifies. Also, making decisions, yes, no, based on the, well, especially on the teachings of the Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami, and those details you can find in the Nectar of Instruction. Also in the Nectar of Devotion. You know, the mood of a devotee. The mood of a devotee we can learn. Yeah, which is important. Because, you know, we see the devotees engaging in activities sometimes that it appears brings attention to themselves, right? And yet generally a devotee is humble and doesn't want to be praised or glorified. In fact, if a devotee is praised and glorified, they become embarrassed and more humble, right? Rupa Goswami mentions this in the beginning of what is it, Lalita? What's that drama? Yes, yep. And he says, he makes the point, he's more or less apologizing to the devotees, and he's saying, but I'm going to speak out, even though it's natural for a devotee to remain reserved and not self-promoting, but now I'm going to speak up. I apologize for the fact that I'm now going to talk. Well, that's... So when it comes to service to Krishna, then a devotee is happy to embrace any activity and any austerity so long as it's pleasing to Krishna. And that's favorable, which is the point here. Service should be favorable if one wants to make progress. And if you want to perform some unfavourable devotional service, then, well, stick around. It may take some time to become purified. And we can assume that because that's, you know, the situation that we probably all face in many respects. We must have performed devotional service in our past lives, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here now. Devotional service is an accumulation of the purification. But at the same time, why are we stuck in the material world? Why are we stuck in the material world, Sibya?
Because we wanted to enjoy separate from Krishna.
Yes, it's a problem, isn't it? But by the association of the devotees, by the chanting of Hare Krishna, by studying the Bhagavatam, by worshipping Radha Ballabha, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, by preaching, will be purified. Right? And their next lifetime, where will we be?
With Krishna.
Huh? Still visiting 197 Dank Street, Albert Park. And still engaging in devotional service. So what's the problem? Anybody have a problem with that?
By enmity or devotional service, by affection or by lusty desire, by all of or any of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates. So here it says either by enmity, the result is the same.
Yeah,
so how would we see that?
Yeah, that's the benefit. But as Prabhupada points out, but don't think this is okay. There are benefits, but don't think it's okay to be unfavorably inclined towards Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Welcome back. Prabhuji, in the third canto, when there is a fight between Hiranyaksha and Lord Varahadev, there is a verse which explains that when Hiranyaksha is calling Varahadev by names, you forest dweller thief. So there is a verse which says that the Lord is pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, Mayavadi philosophers and demon-like people who decry the Lord actually pain his heart because he is a supreme sentient being.
Mm.
And here we see that he's not affected. His response to Shishupal, that episode, that, and Prabhupada explains here that he was not affected by the abuses hurled at him and he still benefited Shishupal.
Yeah.
So what is the premise of this equanimity in the Lord when he's the supreme sentient being, explained earlier that his heart actually pained when, you know, he's denied or decried. Thank you.
It appears to be contradictory, right? But we as individuals are quite capable of holding more than one position in relationship to others, or to, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced having friends who you sometimes wonder, why am I friendly with these people? Huh? And so on some occasions we enjoy their association, on other occasions we think, this guy's an absolute, you know, pain. Right? And that may be true. May be true. So Krishna, being the source of our, you know, being the Supreme Personality, he can hold both equanimity and also feel the pain of the inappropriate behavior of others, right? Because, you know, he knows, you know, sooner or later this fellow's going to have to surrender, right? And so he's equal to everyone. Samoham Savabhuteshu mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. But he also says, but I'm also favorably inclined to those who worship me, you know, favorably. He's equal to everybody, but at the same time inclined to his devotees, right? So this is the depth of the Lord's character, and it shows how even the equanimity, you know, and the handing out of whatever punishments are required is a feature of his compassion, actually. Right? He's compassionate. And so, you know, He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atmarama, and nothing affects him on the one hand, but at the same time he's also pained by the misbehavior of the demons or those who have forgotten their relationship with him. So he's feeling separation, you know, he's feeling that separation keenly. And that's the reason why why he appears in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and why he gives, you know, that depth of compassion that he has, why he gives freely the most intimate of relationships with himself through the chanting of Hare Krishna, right? Which is rarely achieved by anybody. But in the Kali Yuga, in this particular Kali Yuga, he appears in a very compassionate form. And we see that's that compassion is part of his divine character, divine personality. And it's a characteristic that exists also within the devotees, because it's also Srimati Radharani's in most endearing quality, right? So Krishna can, just as we can, have different feelings for and reciprocation with demons, devotees, whatever. So on the one hand, he can be, you know, detached from and equipoised and, you know, hand out the punishment. Right? But even, you know, there's the saying of the parent to the child, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Right? Now, why do parents punish their children? Have you worked that out yet? For not paying attention. That's okay. Why do parents punish children? Why do parents punish children? If you know why?
Discipline.
Discipline. Yeah. Is it a form of affection or a form of animosity? Huh? Teach them good values. Why do we discipline our children? Because we don't want to see them hurt, right? There were some rules in our house, and one of the major rules was you're not allowed to play in a cupboard under the kitchen sink, right? Because that's where all the Dettol and the, you know, all the poisons, basically, that's where they're kept. So if you were playing anywhere near the cupboard, get out of there. Why don't we let children go and play on the freeway? So, compassion, love. Love, real affection and compassion. And the delivery of that may be done in a equipoise, you know. You can't be crying while you're hitting your children. you're not allowed to hit your children. Right? How does that sound? Is that okay? Yeah. Krishna can have, as we can, we can hold different emotions for the same person because of our the multiplicity of our interactions with them. And so, and even those emotions may be contradictory. And so we can't hold them at the same time, right? But there's nothing wrong with that. That's quite normal. That's what people do, right? I remember my paternal grandmother was quite a sourpuss. Do you know what a sourpuss is? Unhappy and somewhat grumpy. But she was a good cook. Right? So we can hold different feelings of affection and detachment at the same time. Okay, let's go. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.